Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. To begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you've joined us today. We're coming to you from Clearwater, Florida. We are live in the studio, as we are every Sunday at this time. And we're so glad you've joined us. It's going to be a great day on Living the Good Life. With me today in the studio is Connie Farmer. You there, Connie?
Yes, ma'am.
And Cricket Clark, who's usually kind of half here, right? Cricket, are you all
what?
Here today?
Who?
What? Yeah.
Where?
Okay.
Yes,
well,
I'm here.
Today you're going to be with it, right?
Totally.
Okay, totally. We're excited to be able to share the good life with all of you. Beacon of Hope Ministries is located in Dunedin, and right here in Dunedin, Florida. And we are always blessed to come from a great Sunday morning service, and then we come to the radio station in the afternoon, and it is just great. Just go from one anointed service into this next time with you. Today is going to be wonderful. We are going to share how you can how you can heal your broken heart. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about mending that broken heart. We've been talking the last few weeks about pain in relationships. And we're going to throw out a question to you for just a second. What's the typical relationship advice maybe you've heard during the years? There's so many TV shows on now and a lot of things on radio, too, that tell us about how we should behave in a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, whatever. We're going to talk about some of those ideas today. It's going to be a good time. We start the broadcast right now with a song that those who thirst and those who are hungry for God, and we hope that is you today, because God is here to meet your needs, to talk to you, and we want to be on that same place with you today. Just be his vessels of love and inspiration into your life. So we're excited about the next few moments as we join together.
Beacon of Hope is a place designed with you in mind. That means we don't expect you to look or act a certain way. We want you to feel comfortable and infected each week through great music, authentic community, and relevant teaching. Sunday morning dress is casual and the coffee is always hot. Beacon of Hope welcomes all people, all origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. You'll meet people just like you. Beacon of Hope is located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin, Florida. Check us out on the web at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Come and experience with us at Compass Wednesday evenings at 7 and every Sunday morning, now beginning at 11. Find the true direction and meaning you've been looking for in your life.
Praise God. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you today by Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Dunedin, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me in the studio today are Connie and Cricket. And we're going to talk for a few moments, and we enjoy doing that. And some of you love to comment on some of the crazy things that are said around here, but we have a great time sharing the Lord and sharing victory, things that we've found in our lives at work. Here's the question. What's the typical relationship advice that you've heard during the years? Give us some ideas of things that people say, okay, here's how you can get along better with your spouse, your friend, whoever it might be, your coworkers. Here, give us some of those ideas. What have you ever heard?
Well, I know one advice that I think we get, even as small children, is the golden rule. Do unto others as you have do unto you. And that's a really good bit of advice.
Sure.
That's on the good end spectrum.
Okay.
I do know, though, you get other advice. Like I've heard from people and family members, don't set yourself up to get hurt. Don't allow yourself to be hurt. So it's like they're trying to tell you all your circumstances constantly evaluate before you step into things to try to maneuver it so you can't be in a position of getting hurt, which is terrible advice and impossible to do. It's impossible to do. You also hear things like, now I can't even remember what I was going to say. Connie, you have a comment to make. I really had one a minute ago.
She did.
I am halfway here. I'll get all the way here.
No, you're
going to
get all the way here in just a second.
Absolutely.
She just arrived. Got it.
Oh, I'm just so old. I've had all kinds of advice. None of it seems to work, obviously, but things like, I'm just like drawing a big blank.
You're drawing a big blank too. Okay.
I
did think of a couple of things.
Good.
I heard. Little things like, if this person gets on your nerves, just ignore that quality in them or ignore that kind of thing. Or, you know, just take a stand. On the other end, just take a stand and tell them how it is.
Right.
You know, and probably a lot of things. Assert yourself and make your opinion known. And that way, you know, everyone can play by your rules, you know, if you're the loudest voice in the room and things like that.
Don't let them walk all over you.
Right.
And,
you know, stand up for what you want.
Which in a lot of respects, those things are good. You know, we have to learn those boundaries in a relationship and in a friendship or a marriage or whatever of what you'll put up with and what you won't, you know, because sometimes we can be abused and that's not a good thing. So
I was just thinking that before we started, I was thinking that I kind of equate asking for advice from friends who haven't had that much luck with relationships either to, you know, guidance counselors at schools teaching kids or talking to high school kids about how to be a millionaire when they're making, you know, poverty level.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. So, in other words, sometimes we don't have all the answers. Is that what you guys are saying? Because that's the case.
Yeah.
A lot of times we try a lot of things in life and a lot of ways of going about having a successful relationship. And a lot of times the things we try seemingly don't work. And it can be very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree that it can be very frustrating as you go through life and you find that what you start out and believe that this is going to be a certain way, this marriage or this relationship is going to be a certain way, and then things don't begin to pan out the way you had hoped, and then there's all of that failed expectations. It seems to me like we've been saying those two words for a long time the last few weeks.
Very foundational.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's all based on expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And the fact that we are self-centered beings.
Yes, we are.
That always caps it off. You built the house of pain last week so nicely, and the roof being self-centeredness and the foundation being those failed expectations. I mean, it's just the perfect model for the way our personalities seem to, rather, no matter where you come from or what country, it's just a human integral right into the chromosomes way of kind of dealing with circumstances. It's really when the word of God tells you to fight against the flesh, boy, you really start understanding when you start talking about this concept, because you really have to fight yourself.
Exactly.
Wanting to go down the roads that we want to and dealing with conflict and dealing with getting along with people and making marriages work and making friendships work, making family situations work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight the flesh.
Exactly.
Every bit of your being.
It's not easy.
That and insanity.
Insanity.
You know, when you keep doing the same things and expecting to get a different result.
Oh, that's a great saying.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so true.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we do. We fall into the same ruts of behavior. Mm-hmm. And last week, if you didn't tune in, let me just remind you what we were talking about. But today, we're not going to concentrate on the house of pain. We're going to concentrate on the answer to all of this. But last week, we were talking about if you could visualize a little house and the foundation being disappointments and failed expectations, because a lot of times all of the other walls in our little house are built based on the disappointments that happen in our relationships. And then you can visualize the front of the house being hurt, that as people look at you, a lot of times what they see is hurt and they don't know what's behind all that. There are side walls, I'm just throw this out to you, and one of them being unforgiveness. It's hard to handle unforgiveness, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to learn to really deal with those things that have hurt us. And then the other side wall being a lot of resentments, they begin to build up. And this becomes a real structure in your heart and in your emotions where it's hard to let other people in. And so therefore, you become full of emotional pain and trauma. And the back wall being a lot of bitterness. So the front wall being hurt, and then we've got side walls of unforgiveness, resentments, and then bitterness, and it all revolves around ourselves. And we get so looking at ourselves instead of trying to see what we can do about these problems. We're acknowledging there are real problems in a lot of people's homes and their relationships. This is a common thing that people go through. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in a relationship. It doesn't matter how much of these worldly goods we have. None of that matters. It is difficult to get along over a sustained period of time. That's what people find everywhere. Don't you agree with me?
Absolutely.
With that?
You can't purchase patience.
Oh, okay.
You can't purchase. You can't go and take any amount of money to buy the characteristics that we need to handle hurt.
Yes.
And how to, you can't buy unforgiveness.
Right.
You have to exercise that, yeah, just like you have to exercise a muscle. And you have to build, today in your sermon, you mentioned that you're a little older nowadays, and you have experience that goes with age.
Did I say that? I didn't mean
You kind of briefly mentioned
it. Were we talking about how I was just a year or two older than you?
Tiny
just
bit.
Just a couple years.
Just
okay.
a couple
but
of minutes.
But we have a few people that are older than you.
Right, but you named a whole bunch of older, old people
I
in
did.
The congregation,
yeah, really
which I'm
old.
Sure they appreciated.
Yeah,
that.
They appreciated that.
But
yeah.
You can't purchase those things. You
right.
have to exercise those things. You have to form habits, and that's why
yes.
I think your point was so impacting to me was you have to do these things over and over and over
yes.
to get good at them.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can end up, and I think you use this, a bitter old bag.
I did say that.
I love
that.
That saying. That's great.
I did say that.
Bitter old bag.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll remember
wow.
that
Wow. The answer is found in the love of God, and
praise
we're going to talk more about it in just a moment.
Yes.
Listen to this song, Love's the Only House. Instead of the house of pain, we're going to talk about the house of love.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
All this prosperity down across the river, and you see a ghetto there. And we got children walking around with guns, and they got knives and drugs and pain to spare. And here I am in my clean white shirt with a little money in my pocket and a nice warm home. And we got teenagers walking around in a culture of darkness, living together alone. All I can say is love's the only house big enough for all the pain in the world. Love's the only house big
these streets are gonna burn if we don't do something soon. And Senorita can't quit crying, baby's due now in a day. Don Juan left, got sick of trying, no one there to show him the way. She came down to the grocery store. She said, I want to buy a little carton of milk, but I don't have any money. I said, hey, I'll cover you, honey, 'cause the pain's gotta go somewhere. Yeah, the pain's gotta go someplace. So come on down to my house. Don't you know?
Praise God. Love's the only house. Wow, big enough for all the pain in the world. That's an interesting song, and we wanted to play that on purpose. That was intentional today to remind us of the fact that there is so much pain in the world in so many areas, but love is the answer to all of this. It really is. That is why we do these broadcasts. It's all about God's love working in us and through us. If you have your Bible, and if you don't have to run get it, or if you want to, you may. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 today. Sometimes it's good to be able to read along, and as many of you know, I do teach out of the Message Bible for the most part now, because it is in the modern everyday language that we all understand. And I think we all understand this, don't we? That love is the answer to all this emotional pain. In Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 1, it says this: watch what God does and then do it. Okay? Watch what God does, then do it. You know, that's how you learn to do things, right? You see somebody do it, and then you can do it yourself as you watch it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. I love that sentence. I'm going to read that again. Mostly what God does is love you. That's what it's all about. It's all about his love. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Now, today we said we're going to talk about solutions to relationship problems. And if you take notes, here's one of them. The more time you spend with God, the stronger you're going to be in your relationships. Because it says here, when we keep company with him, we learn a life of love. He is all love, okay? And as you worship him, as you talk to him, as you spend time with him, he begins to tell you how to behave and how to live. You say, how can that be? The God of the universe that created all things and created me can show me how to act? Absolutely. In the month of June, we've been reading at Beacon of Hope, the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is full of the wisdom of God. And it tells us how to behave. And as you spend more time with God, the God of love, he shows you how to interact with people in a better way. You say, that sounds too simple. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You read the word, you study the word, the book of Proverbs and other parts of the word. You keep company with him and learn a life of love, because he is all love. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. That's his essence. That is who he is. That is all there is to it. God is love. No place in the Bible does it say God is anger, God is wrath, God is getting ready to beat you into the ground. God says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. That's what he says. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. His love was extravagant. I love that word. If somebody is extravagant, then that means they go all out. Isn't that right? If somebody is extravagant in a meal that they spend on a meal, that means they've spent a lot of money on this meal, right? They just go all out with it. It's extravagant. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, his love is not cautious, but extravagant. In other words, he went out of his way to send his son to this earth to show us the nature of the Father. And his nature is love. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. And it says here in Ephesians 5, at the end of verse 2, love like that. Now that means we are to love extravagantly. We are to go all out in our love. You say, but you don't know what he did to me or what she said or the way she acts every time I come into a room. You don't know how they treat me. You don't know how I get the cold shoulder. You don't know how abused I am. And we are certainly not condoning all those things. Those things are not good. But how do we react to these? We love. You say, that sounds too simple. Go with me to the chapter right before, which is Ephesians 4, and the last two verses of that chapter, 31 and 32. Make a clean break with all. Okay, now here we go. Now we're getting to some nitty-gritty stuff on how you do this walk of love. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Now, this is clear-cut direction. This tells us what to do. Make a clean break with all this. Be gentle with one another, sensitive and forgiving one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is what it's all about. Learning to live in love means we learn to forgive and we learn to quit saying the things that get us into worse arguments. Now, I'm telling you this morning because I've lived it, that our mouths get us into trouble. We say things that cause a deeper problem in that relationship. And a lot of times we do that because we are reacting to the hurt. We are reacting to the thing that was done to us. So we say something terrible to cut somebody, to bite them, you know, to get at them. And Paul is saying right here, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another and forgive. Now, this is clear-cut instruction. Be gentle and forgive, okay? Now, we said last week, forgiving does not mean you agree with what is done. Forgiving is simply that you let go and they don't owe you anymore. Go with me to Psalm 116. And while you're finding that, let's remember this. In order to live in the house of love versus the house of pain, we must learn to control our tongues. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. If you want to move from the house of pain where there's all the emotional trauma and hurt and resentments and bitterness, you got to learn to talk differently. You got to learn to talk to yourself differently and say, wait a minute. Instead of getting all angry and upset about this and retaliating, I'm going to handle this differently. So you talk to yourself differently. You talk to God differently. You go to God and you say, hello, did you just hear what happened out there? I can't deal with this. I don't know what to say. God, give me wisdom. Give me instruction on what to say to cause there to be a peace between this person and myself. We go to God, we talk to God, we talk to ourselves, and then we try talking to that person. And we do it in a gentle way, in a forgiving way, without backbiting, without cutting, without putting people down. You know what passive aggressive behavior is? It's really getting your point across, but you do it in a way, you know, in a kind of a, you know, a dig there. And people are sitting there going, what was that? What were they really saying there? You know? And what God is saying, we've got to curb that kind of behavior. Go with me to Psalm 116 and look at verse 1. I love God because he listened to me. This is part of my point I'm trying to make right now. God listens to us when we talk to him. You say, well, are you sure about that? He's really busy. He's got all these people all over the world. And I mean, you know, he's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. And I don't know if he just listens to all my little junk. We pointed out a verse this morning at Beacon of Hope when I was preaching about God says to take everything to him, whether it is small or it is large, take everything to God. I love God, this is Psalm 116 verse 1, because he listened to me And he listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Guys, this is a big step to walking in the house of love instead of the house of pain. To being a house of love yourself, being full of that. And a big part of this is how you talk to God, is how you lay out your case before him, is how you get honest with God. And sometimes if you just sit down and do that, you will find you don't fly off the handle nearly as quickly if you will take time to get in a quiet place and talk to God about what's going on in the situation right then. Death stared me in the face. This is Psalm 116. Hell was hard on my heels. Some of you that have gone through a lot of abuse emotionally, verbally from other people, you have felt like death was hard on your heels. You have felt like hell was right there. It was awful. You know, you couldn't win. Up against it, listen to what the psalmist says. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn. I believe that a lot of us that have lived in a lot of emotional pain and turmoil through the years don't know what to say. It's the old phrase, and forgive me as I say this word, I'm going to say it, but it's the best way I know how to say it. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. Have you ever heard that phrase? That I can't win. It doesn't, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to make any headway in this conversation. Okay. Now, when you feel that way, please, God, I cried out, save my life. Okay. Here's a big ingredient to walking in love. Going to God, tell him exactly how it is. Tell him what you're feeling. Say, God, I need to calm down here. I need to vent. You know, it's great to vent. It's good to vent. Some people say, oh, I just push it down in. No, no, no. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Instead of stuffing, we need to learn to vent, but we need to learn to vent properly. We need to learn to vent properly. And that has to do with going to God with the issues and the problems that are happening and tell him exactly how it is. Okay. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right. Our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations before that I felt like I was at the end of my rope in that relationship or in that situation with that person. Maybe it's a colleague at work. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a love relationship. I've been in situations that I have been feeling, I'm at the end of my rope here. I don't know what to do. And look at this. This is verse 7 of Psalm 116. I said to myself, relax and rest. Relax and rest. Relax and rest. These are keys to coming out of emotional trauma. Learning to relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. It becomes a mindset. What do I think about? Do I think about the blessings of God, or do I concentrate on the emotional trauma that's going on right now? Do I play the video over and over again of that scene that I just had with that person and how awful it was and how cutting it was and how painful it was? Do I play that video over and over again? Do I lend that video to others so that they can see it too and talk all about that? It says right here, God, you taught me how to relax and rest, and you have showered me with blessings. No, we need to play the video or the DVD that shows God's blessings in our lives. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, you are kept from stumbling. I love this. I'm striding in the presence of God. I'm in verse 9 of 116, Psalm 116. Alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful, though bedeviled. In other words, it didn't matter what happened. And maybe I had an awful situation that happened, and it was really bad. And despite a ton of bad luck, despite giving up on the human race, have you ever felt like that? That you just felt like giving up on the human race? That every time you entered into a relationship with somebody, they always misunderstood you. They took you wrong. They treated you funny. They one minute were your best friend, the next minute they weren't calling you anymore. Oh, that is an awful feeling of rejection. Despite this, sometimes we go to God and we say, God, what can I give back to you for the blessings you poured out on me? The psalmist redirect. Think of this word right now, redirect. We need to redirect our emotions. We need to redirect our thoughts. We need to redirect the things that come out of our mouths. We need to redirect our minds. Everybody out there say redirect with me right now. Okay, redirect. We need to redirect to the answer, not the problem. Now, what have we all tried? We've all tried going over and over and talking it out. And sometimes talking it out does work. And we're going to talk about communication in a little while. And sometimes the very best thing, not sometimes, I'm going to go out on a limb here, every time, the very best thing you can do is go to God first before you attempt to try to straighten it out in your own strength, okay, and in your own wisdom. Wow. What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do. I'll do it together with his people. God welcomes those who love him. Here's the key. As you fall in love with God to in greater dimension than you've ever been in love with him before, as you spend time in his presence, he's going to teach you how to get along with people. One more time, I'm going to say that. As you spend more time in the presence of God, learning to talk to him about the pain that you're going through, he is going to teach you how better to get along with people. This is the way it works because his love is so extravagant. He goes out of his way to give more love, more love. And as you sit down and get honest with him, he's going to pour out his love into you and through you to that other person. Stay tuned, stay with us, because we're going to talk in detail about some of these concepts in just a moment.
Broadcasting live from Dave and Lola's Radio World, AM 1340, WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel. Listen.
No greater love friend, capture my heart again.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
This is Pastor Marcia McAllister joining you again. This is Living the Good Life. We're so glad you've joined us. We were just talking about the extravagant love of God, and our praise band did that song this morning, didn't you, Cricket?
Yes, we did.
Was it great? Always worshiping God with that song, yes. Just the extravagant love of God. And the verses we just taught on a few minutes ago talk about that love of God. And why does it need to be extravagant, over the top? I don't know really what the definition of extravagant is. Maybe you've got a better one of you. This is Cricket and Connie that are here in the studio live with me today for Living the Good Life. But his love is so extravagant. What does that mean? And how does that relate to us now as we deal with all this pain, emotional trauma in our lives?
I think everything is extravagant about God, and that's what sets him apart from every other thing being anything to ever exist before him. He is the ultimate. He is the most. He is superior. He is the creator of everything, which means if he's going to create everything, that means he's going to be extravagant in everything that he does. And to honestly be able to be the supreme being that he is, he has to be extravagant.
Yes.
To be able to encompass all that goes on down here.
Right.
Because there's a lot of mess that goes on down here. And to be able to forgive and forget the way he does. To be able to be all truth and all knowledge the way he is. And to be everything that his word says he is, which is everything that we need to know.
Amen.
He has to be all-encompassing in extravagance, in compassion, and grace, and mercy, in the most perfect way that that can be slathered on us, to not find a better word.
That
he
is
slathers it. You know, thick coating.
So much love.
Slathers it on us.
Oh, do you have a comment about that, Connie? God's love.
No. I was thinking about another slathered that somebody was telling me about earlier this week. It didn't pertain to God's love.
Okay. She works in a hospital. So we won't ask her what that means. We don't even want to know.
Bad mental images.
Okay. But his love is incredible, isn't it? It is so rich. It is so true. And what, no matter what it is we're going through, when we are in the midst of our pain, he never sits there and puts us down. Would you two agree with that?
Absolutely.
I mean, has that been your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We were talking just a little while ago from the Word of God about the need to run to him. Do you guys have any comments on how that feels when you have, let's say you've been in a talking situation with somebody at work or something happened in a relationship and it just didn't go well and this talk didn't go well and you walk away and you're feeling very hurt, you're feeling very rejected. Maybe you're just like, oh, I cannot believe they said those things to me. Our natural human reaction first to do is, what do we do?
Lash back.
Yeah.
Make a stand. Get our point made.
Right.
And that never seems to work very well. So the concept of running to God is, gosh, one we all need to have in our back pockets all the time.
All the time.
Because it's not the human reaction that we really want to do, but that is really the only source to do at the time. I blow a lot of conversations. Imagine that. I like to talk. I think people that like to talk blow a lot of situations by talking.
You talk too much?
I talk too much. Yes, I need to work on those scriptures that say we should talk less and listen more. I need to work on that more.
Oh, okay.
So I tend to blow conversations from time to time.
In other words, what do you mean by blowing a conversation?
Well,
explain that.
I'll say it in a way and my tone will sound a certain way and it's taken the wrong way, or I choose to just go the wrong way and just get my point made out there. And I just, you know, wreck a situation basically by being like a bull in a china shop.
Oh, okay.
You know, just
you say too much.
Yeah, say too much or be too blunt, be too honest. I do that sometimes. I can cut to the bone a little bit.
Okay.
Something I definitely need to work on. And when that happens, I mean, what can you do? It's already out there. It's already jumped out
right.
of your mouth.
Yeah.
It's out there banging
and
up the whole room.
You wish you could just run and take it back, pull it back in.
You wish you could grab that bull by the horns, but it's a big old bull and it's breaking all the bowls in the shop.
And you said too much.
And I said too much and it's running amok. I love saying that phrase.
Run amok.
And at that very moment, which I need to practice this more, but the times that I do just stop and I run to God right then, which they are far in between, I'll admit. They're getting closer together as I
praise God.
As I get more and more, you know.
As you get closer to God.
As I get closer and learn more and understand his character more. When I stop and I run to him, he immediately gives me answers.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't give me answers until I run to him. I have to go to him.
Right.
He doesn't just, you know, drop down in the middle of the situation with a bright glowing light and, you know, slap a Band-Aid over my mouth. Shut up. That'd be great if he did. But that's not the way it works. That's not how I learn him taking control. I have to learn to go to him.
Yes.
And he gives me, you know, the words not, you know, he tells me rather to be quiet. Usually he tells me to say something very brief that is the opposite of what I was just saying.
Right.
And then shut up. And that's usually the way those go. But that is the source. That is the fountain of youth to solve the problem in that circumstance, if you will.
Okay. Do you have a comment on that, Connie? Do you have a thought on that? I was thinking, go ahead, if you did. Back to Ephesians, where we were talking a moment ago, where we were given specific.
Yes.
Was this specific or what?
Wonderful.
I mean, this is Ephesians 5. Some of you may have just tuned in, and I just got done teaching on this section of Scripture. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, and it's starts out, you know, to really watch what God does and then do it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And God does never put us down. He does never speak his mind to us. I mean, does he ever come down and tell you off?
No.
No, he doesn't do that. Does he ever say, now, that doesn't mean God doesn't correct us.
No.
He does through his word. And there are times we know we should not have said that. We should not have reacted that way. And it's amazing how he corrects us, but he does it always. In love.
He does.
He does
and that's why
love.
He's so extravagant. There's
there
the word
you go.
That's the E word I'm looking for. That's why he's so extravagant, because at those times where I'm really messing it up, if my human father was in the room when I was small and acting that way, he would immediately step in and correct me.
Right.
Hey, you don't do that, and this is why.
Right.
And even though he would do it in love, he would do it in that human father way.
Exactly.
And God is not, you know, exactly the same. He
right.
does it more. It's a responsibility on me to come to him.
Right.
Now, he works through a wonderful thing called my conscience, though.
Right.
Conscience is like the small, thin screen between me and God's area, and things have to filter through
right.
into my soul and into my spirit. But he allows that
right.
flow from his spirit to speak to me quietly and gently and help me to get back in correction. And you know, watch God and do what he does. That's how he's so extravagant.
Isn't that
because
cool?
He just opens himself up to it. He's like, hey, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you so much, I'll just show you.
Right.
Listen to what my stories are. Listen to what I've recorded through time.
Amen.
How I wanted it to happen.
Right.
Follow my lead.
Exactly.
Follow my lead and you'll get through this without any problems.
Fantastic.
Or less problems.
Or less problems.
Less problems. We'll do it that way.
Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, and profane talk.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talked about that in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough, isn't it? Cutting? You have a comment on that, Connie?
Well, it's just tough being human.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because you want to get your point.
Because you just, you just want to deal with it right then mm-hmm. instead of being patient and letting God take care of them. And it's just hard. I kind of echo what Cricket was saying about that deep down feeling inside, because you know when you've said something that's off color or
right.
you know wrong.
It's wrong.
I mean, just generally wrong. God wouldn't have done that. Jesus wouldn't have done it. I used to wear one of those WWJD uh-huh. bracelets.
I think we all did. Good yeah.
reminder.
What would Jesus do? That is a good reminder.
Good reminder.
Yeah. But yet, I'm not Jesus, and I'm not anywhere. You know,
but you're trying to be like him every day, right?
I'm trying, but it's, you know, the human stuff
comes out
more. The
human stuff does. It does.
So it's hard. But
this is practical, isn't it, here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make a clean break with all cutting. How can you make a clean break with all cutting comments, all backbiting, all profane talk? How can you make a clean break with it?
You just got to make a conscious choice.
You got to make a conscious choice.
Good. Every minute of every day, be present
right
in the situation.
Yeah.
And, you have to.
Have you ever found yourself stopping in mid-sentence and go, oops, no, I'm not going to go on with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's part of that making a clean break.
I agree. I think
because,
that is.
Because, you know, when we're in a habit, we do things, we're very mechanical mm-hmm. as human beings.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have gears and such, we do. They're just really soft and squishy. And we get in such a habit of things that we just unconsciously go about the things that we do.
Right.
And when you are in a habit of talking in a certain way, you don't even know.
Right.
And I have fought with this at periods of my life of how do I make myself even realize that I'm doing this? But it has to be just personal responsibility and awareness.
Exactly.
And you ask God to show it, reveal, and he does, because I can't reveal it to myself. I mean, I talk like cricket talks.
Yeah.
I just talk and do my thing, or I go about my day like this, or whatever the case may be. It's like smoking. I mean, when you are a smoker, you just reach for the little long
right.
dart,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just grab it and you yeah. just light it. It's like your hand knows exactly how to get it out of the pack so easily. And you know how to flick the lighter just right. I mean, it's just like A to B to C, just that simple, just
yeah.
that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotta be a cold turkey thing to where you might still pick it up.
Right.
You might still let it slip out of your mouth. But when you do, your realization light in your brain will start clicking and blinking more often.
It's the truth.
And you have to take control over it. And you
right.
have to be committed to, it's just like losing weight. And when you pick up something you shouldn't and you stick it in your mouth. Mm-hmm. I've had friends be on a diet and they've really been committed. And they'll stick something in their mouth out of habit and they'll spit it out.
Yeah.
Because they realize I just stuck that Hershey Kiss in my mouth or whatever.
Right.
They'll spit it out. That's doing this. That's making a clean break.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw it in their mouth. Yes, but tomorrow they might not even put it in their mouth. They might just
right.
get it in their hand. The next day, it'll be a little less of that whole process
exactly.
that's so mechanical for us to do.
So what you're saying is it starts with a decision, okay? God,
mm-hmm.
I want to live in love. I want to walk in love
mm-hmm.
because that's the answer to the emotional pain and trauma that
yes.
I go through all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to learn to react differently. And if I react differently and I give out the love of God, then this is what happens. Do unto others. Didn't you mention it
yes.
earlier?
Mm-hmm.
As you walk in love, it's going to come back to you. That is the
right.
way the universe
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Do unto others, and it shall be done unto you.
Right.
Okay? So that is how it works. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know? Do unto others the way you would have somebody treat you. So it starts with a decision, okay? And you can decide out there right now listening to this broadcast, you can decide, you know what? I want to start walking in God's love. I want to start reacting differently. When people hurt me, I don't want to hurt back.
Mm-hmm.
When people cause me pain and reject me, when people resent me and they say hurtful things to me, I don't want to do the same thing back to them. I want to walk in the love of mm-hmm. God in this area. I want to learn to do that.
And I think that's important to realize, you know, that song that we listened to by Martina McBride has a little phrase in it that says the pain has to go somewhere.
Yes, it
does. The pain has to go somewhere. And it doesn't
have
to
go.
It doesn't have to come right back out the same way though.
Mm-hmm.
Once it goes into the mechanism, it can come out in a different way.
Okay.
That's how Jesus modeled it.
Right.
Things would come in and he would just transform it into godly righteousness and it would come out in
right.
love.
Right.
It has to go somewhere though. It just
right.
can't sit. That's when you start stuffing.
Yeah.
And that's when you start backing up the system because
right.
you're jamming things down and you're just bottling it up. And every time something goes in, you just put the cap on it and hit my microphone there. I'm very visual with my hands, obviously. And you can't cap it though. You have to keep it freely flowing.
Yes.
You just have to make sure you're controlling what comes out on the other side. Psalms 116 talked about making sure the words
yes.
that we say, you know, a little further down in Ephesians,
go ahead.
In Ephesians 3:4, it talks about, now I found this interesting, that the
chapter
next thing,
three or
chapter 5,
okay.
verses 3 and 4, just
okay.
after the ones that you spoke of,
mm-hmm.
it says, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, and bullying greed.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting that pops in right after he talks about this love, because I think these kinds of things are large titles to a whole bunch of little things that you can put in these little containers of those titles. That can happen when we're not focusing on love.
Yes.
Bad decisions that we make to do with the hurt and the things that happen to us. Bullying, greed. We could title all kinds of little things under that. Filthy practices, that's all kinds of things that are just not holy in God's eyes. Sexual promiscuity is trying to find love and acceptance in the wrong places.
Right.
And further down that list, through some tongues, just though, I can read, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. He's talking to the body of Christ here.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is our dialect. That's the sentence I'm really trying to get to with the other things. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Now, I love that he used it that way.
Yeah.
Is our dialect. Because a dialect, you know, is the little weird way of saying it. In the English language here in the United States has, we have a lot of dialects.
Yeah.
You go to Tennessee, you're going to hear a very interesting dialect.
Right.
North Carolina. You go out to Texas, you're going to hear one. California, Oregon, so on. You have all these different dialects. Well, the dialect of the Christian is Thanksgiving. And praise.
Praise God.
To God. And that's how you start pushing out the crummy things that happen to you. You bring it in, you process it. Basically, processing it means you go to God and you say, God, here's this thing. And why did this happen? Right. And I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Yes.
Show me how to do the right thing. You get in his word, rhema word jumps out at you and he reminds you to love and it'll turn around. It's the Australians had it great. They made the boomerang.
Right.
The golden rule, I think I want to rename it the boomerang.
Boomerang.
Because what you throw out there, it comes back to
you.
Yes, it does. If you go to God and do those things, then your body will then push out new words.
Yes.
You'll push out words that, God, I thank you that I have the opportunity to share with this person or help them, or that I thank you because you've given Jesus to bridge the gap between. It changes everything. It's, you know, I used to hate being around people like that too. I have to admit it. When I was around Thanksgiving, constant talking people, it used to grate on my nerves because I didn't understand.
Right.
I just thought, how can you be so happy? How can you be so thankful all the time? All this junk happens. I mean, do you even get on a highway? You can't be thankful and ever drive on the highway. These people are crazy. And you just start realizing, when you realize God wants you to live a certain way, you start talking that way he wants you to live, and it really transforms your world.
Redirect.
And it really is, your mouth is so powerful.
It is.
It is. It really is
extremely powerful.
A very important thing, what comes out of it, because it molds the environment around us. Invisible things come out, but it makes the world around us.
It does.
It
does. Creates everything. Comment on that, Connie.
Well, I don't think I can comment on all that. But,
because she went on and on, but she made some great points.
Pick and choose.
It just went out of my head.
It's okay. I'll give you a minute. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
I'll come back to you. The thing of redirecting, and because there's so many times that when we are in the middle of a situation, the temper, the emotions of that moment are so strong, and we tend to react. And Connie, I will say this about you. I have noticed this about you for years. You tend to, if somebody says something, you just kind of stand there and look at them. Kind of funny. You don't seem to, you don't react.
React.
I mean, I've never seen you blow a gasket. I've seen other people blow a gasket. You may be blowing one on the inside, but
I've blown a few gaskets.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you tend to be slow to speak. And the word talks about that. Be slow to anger. Be slow to speak in the midst of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do try not to. I don't know if it's from years of being in management.
Right.
And knowing that that's not the way a manager should be.
Right. Maybe that's
or
it.
A leader should be. And I can't tell you that I've done it right all the time.
Right.
But I've learned from the responses that I've gotten in the past that you have to wait and hear it all out.
Exactly.
And you can't knee-jerk a reaction and then expect people to respect you and do what you want them to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's...
That's good practical wisdom, don't you think? Take your time to respond and think it over. And what we're saying is take it to the next step, and that is get alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always practical. Sometimes you have to think on your feet, but you can do this. You can take a second and take a deep breath or two mm-hmm. or three, and then they're standing there wondering what you're about to say. And during that split second, God can intervene on the inside of you and give you wisdom. Wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have to like really hope that he's going to give me wisdom, because usually, even though I don't say anything, people who know me can look me in the eye and know mm-hmm. that something's not right.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And, you know, my neck gets all flushed. And, you know, they think I'm going to like blow a gasket, but I try not to.
But you try not to. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about practical things you can do, and we're going to talk more about these in just a couple minutes. We have a powerful song we are going to play here. We got so turned on by this song last Sunday morning. It just really did something in the service. What do you want to say about this, Cricket?
Well, I just want to say the reason that I thought this song was so powerful is because, in my opinion, this conversation today has two parts to it. It has a personal responsibility that we need to take on, but at the same time, there's the atmosphere that you have to live in to make this work.
Okay.
I was just saying before we came in here this afternoon was it really baffles me to try to figure out how the secular world has to get through this life. Because if I didn't have the body of Christ to rely on
Amen.
And try to plug in and mm-hmm. connect in with my fellow believers from time to time, I need that support
yes.
to make these kind of decisions on a daily basis. So this song is called We Speak to Nations. And the thing that I love about it is because it talks about the body of Christ coming together and then going out as a bigger unit
yes.
than just the individual. Because our personal ministries are very important. But then, you know, we come together to make a bigger organism.
Yes.
An even bigger organism. Because we come together as Beacon of Hope.
Amen.
And then Beacon of Hope is part of the bigger church
yes.
that God has brought
body of
on
Christ.
This earth.
Yes.
The whole body across the whole world.
Right.
And that's what this song is saying. And this is how we change nations. This is how we change hearts of people. There's hurting people
everywhere.
And this is, we're more powerful when we come together in numbers. Everybody
Amen.
Knows that. And that this is the next part of this mentality, I think, that we're talking about today.
To the east and the west, hear the sound.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister again with Living the Good Life. And we've just been talking about what we can do when the emotional pain and trauma comes our way. What does God expect of us? I love that song because it is saying that we are supposed to be free from all of this, mm-hmm. that there are strongholds in our lives. Guys, let's get nitty gritty here. Mm-hmm. We all have issues in our lives that cause us to be in situations, and some of us, it's because of weaknesses within us that the hurt is there so much, or the rejection is there so much, or the resentments that it, as we get into a bad situation, then we don't vent properly. We don't handle that pain properly. And what God is saying to us in this day is He is coming to set us free. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. And when you're full of pain and hurt and resentment and unforgiveness, your heart's broken. It's not healthy. It's not well. And we have to redirect. Don't forget that word today, because I think that is key today to what we're saying. We have to redirect our conversation. We have to redirect our thinking. We have to redirect our time, and we need to spend more time in the Word, and we need to redirect our time with God, talking to Him, because there is an answer to all this, and we should care whether or not other people are set free from all of this junk too. Mm-hmm. And that's the mission mentality that was sung about in that song. I love that. You know, we speak to the nations and say, be free, you know?
That's right. So what does it mean to vent properly, do you think? Because that's an important thing in this process, because there's times where you just get frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
And even when we go before God, we're like, God, and we might vent to Him.
That's fine.
What is a proper way to vent in our opinions here, yeah, as we share as a panel?
Yeah. I think that's one of the ways to do it. Go to God.
Well, you always teach us that we just go there and go to God and just be real.
Be real. I agree.
And I think that's good advice in any relationship, whether it's with God or with a human,
sure,
being.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Is to be real. Be
Amen.
Present.
Mm-hmm. Be present.
I know I talk about that all the time, but, you know, it's something that I can say that I never was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult thing to learn to do.
Exactly.
You know, you're so used to just, you know, being who somebody thinks that you think somebody wants you to be.
Right, not being
to
who
please
you really
them.
Are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because if they knew, mm-hmm, who you were or who you are, would they really want to be with you?
And all the pain down on the inside of you, mm-hmm, they knew what was really there, mm-hmm, would they like you?
Right.
Yeah, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. We don't always want to share that. Mm-hmm. But when we don't share it, though, the facade that we start living is just so painful, and it's so damaging. And we have to realize we're walking around with that broken heart.
Right.
It's almost like we're walking around with even worse. I mean, a broken heart is bad. Heart disease in this country is bad. But things that people can catch, like the worst cases of flu that kill,
right,
people during the flu season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like we're infected with something people can catch from us. And
yeah,
when we are walking around that broken, we do affect the environment around us.
Oh, amen.
And the things that we spew out and the things that we attack on others and but our unforgiveness is catching. And it can
it's
affect
contagious.
The people immediately around us. And it just continues. Just like Adam and Eve, when sin entered into the whole picture, it just tainted the whole big blue world.
Sure did.
It spread across everything.
Right.
And that's just what happens. That's why we're in the state that we are now.
Right.
In year 2007, there's a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of needs not taken care of. There's all kinds of things from the individual life to complete nations falling apart.
Right.
Certain countries in Africa that just have such struggles and,
yes,
such pain and horrible travesty, human travesties that happen on Holocaust-like levels.
Right.
And it's all because, honestly, it stems from these types of things that we're talking about right here that
it
don't
does.
Get resolved correctly.
Yes.
The Word of God talks about unresolved sin births death.
Yes, it does.
That's a powerful thing to conceptualize,
mm-hmm,
that sin, gosh, sin in my life that I don't resolve, that I don't do with right, and there's only one way to resolve sin, it's to do it God's way, which is,
right,
come to Him and repent.
Exactly.
And you've taught us the definition of repent. You turn the other way and walk away from it.
Right.
180 degree turn, and you
go
leave
the other
it.
Way.
It doesn't mean that it doesn't sprout up. I'm not condemning those who struggle with things that reoccur.
No. Oh,
I
no.
have those things in my life as,
sure,
well. But it's a moment by moment decision that we make.
Right.
That when it does rear its ugly head again,
right,
and we succumb to it, immediate obedience is necessary. Repent now before it grows out of proportion.
Exactly.
Because it will birth death. That's yes. a scary thought, how it will birth death. And we've seen that in people's lives.
Oh, sure.
We were joking about the bitter old bag earlier. But does not that represent, and I think everyone's at least probably seen it, rather at least on a television show, but maybe in live.
Right.
You see the death that brings after right. a long life of unresolved hurt.
Right.
That probably wasn't this person's fault. But they didn't deal with it. They weren't in God's presence with it. They weren't daily plugging into God's word and learning how to deal with these things correctly. I think another way to vent properly is keeping it honest, your
right.
venting.
Oh, totally.
I think one thing that we can do so easily is just blow things out of proportion,
yes.
which means we start stimming on kind of fibbing about it,
yeah.
stretching the truth about
making
it.
Making it worse than it was.
Discoloring it,
yeah.
adding to it and dramatizing
right.
it. And then also talking about it to everybody.
To everybody else
the
around
new version
right.
spreads like wildfire.
The exaggerated version
it's
makes
like,
it worse.
Yes, it's like inquiring minds want to know, well, let's write this version in the inquirer version.
Right.
No. See, that's a big mistake.
Right.
You have to, a lot of these things, you know, we deal with things in the privacy of our own prayer closets.
Right.
Some venting can be maybe you need a spouse around or a best friend that you need to keep it realistic because
yes.
you don't want to infect
right.
those around you.
Right.
But a lot of times maybe we need to vent to the Lord.
Absolutely.
That is probably the healthiest place to take it because God is not going to give you bad advice and you can't infect him. There's no way because he can handle it.
Exactly.
Even if you're starting out with your venting in a bad light,
right.
Being in his presence will hopefully turn it around to where he can curb that and bring it back to a healthy place by the end.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Connie.
Well, I don't remember which scripture you used this morning. I can't find it in my notes from this morning, but the one about how God aligns himself with us
yes.
so that we can align ourselves with somebody else in the same kind of hurting
yes.
times
Second
and
Corinthians
help
chapter
them.
1, yeah, 3 to it. 5. That is a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful scripture. That the things we go through, go ahead if you want to yeah, comment
well,
on it.
Well, that, you know, when we go through these things, that God is with us. And then he gives us the opportunities to share with others
yes.
who have the same hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can't help but thinking about this weekend coming up with St. Pete Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our community is such a hurting mm-hmm. community. And actually, I'm kind of looking forward to being out there and
mm-hmm.
getting
to
talk to people. Yeah.
Tell them there's a hope.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what this broadcast is all about. You know, we put a lot of time, effort, money into this, but we are doing it because we believe that there is good news
mm-hmm.
that we want to share with everybody that is willing to listen, and that is that you can be free. You can be free from the junk in your life that has mm-hmm. bound you for so long.
That's right.
So we agree with that song, Be Free.
Yes.
You know, we
yes.
speak to the nations and to the peoples, the people groups in our lives, at work, at home, in our family, wherever those people groups are, and we say, be free. And let our prayers be shaped by thanksgiving. And we begin to give God thanks
mm-hmm.
and that he can set us free and
yes.
that he wants to hear what is going on the inside of us. Remember a few minutes ago when I was teaching, Psalm 116 verse 1 says, I love God because he listened to me. He listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Guys,
God
listens to you. Mm-hmm. He listens intently. He's not somebody that's just half listening. You know, I have a little miniature dachshund. Her name is Zoe Grace, and she's wonderful. But one of her big old floppy ears sometimes goes back, and the other one's down. And my daughter always says, oh, she's only half listening when she has one ear back and one ear down. Well, God is not like Zoe Grace when she's half listening. You know, God listens to us all the time, and he hears the cry of our heart. And all he asks us to do is talk to him
mm-hmm.
and
Absolutely.
Tell us about the pain.
The first song we listened to has a little section she's talking at the end where it says she's willing to get her hands dirty and together we'll make a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the point of the body of Christ because it's so hard to do things on your own.
Right.
All these points and things that we talk about and the way to think is so hard to go through the mundane weeks by yourself.
By yourself.
Hanging
yes.
on by a thread.
Yes.
Trying to remember why you were enthusiastic last Sunday at 4:30 when they were talking about this. But Wednesday, this doesn't sound so good to have these kind of thoughts.
Right.
Because I want to succumb to the way I feel.
Right.
And I want to be upset and I want to be stressed and full of of fear of how I'm going to get through this. And Thanksgiving is such a release from that.
Yes.
You know, Tony Robbins is a inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
And he shares that it is impossible to feel fear and thankful at the same time. And I tested him on this.
All right.
I tested him on this. I woke up one morning full of, you know, typical day and how am I going to get through work and this and little, all kinds of little life things.
Sure.
That just, if you start thinking about them, they feel like little rocks piling up on top of you. So I went for a walk and just started thanking God. I was grateful.
Yes.
For everything I could think of, from the smallest to the biggest, my parents, having the life I've had, the dogs I have, the everything, you know, the church that I have, the breath that I'm breathing in at this moment, the view that I happen to be walking by this beautiful tree, whatever. I was grateful for every little detail I could possibly think of.
Wow.
I could not fear anything. I could not feel that dread at all. It was like, it was, wow, it was shocking. That being thankful washes that stuff out instantly. By probably the third thing that I was thankful for, it was like, I cannot even fathom being afraid of anything right now. I mean, it was just very interesting. And that was not me. That was the Holy Spirit releasing its miraculous power
so
that it does.
So are you saying this is one of the keys?
Very much
one of the keys of walking
very
out of this pain is learning to talk with thanksgiving on our mouths.
Amen.
You mentioned it earlier in Ephesians 5. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Okay.
Love that.
Thanksgiving is the way we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's how we talk. Do we talk full of bitterness? Do we talk full of hurt and pain? Or do we talk with mouths of thanksgiving that God really is working in our lives? We may not have all the answers to this pain.
That's right.
Do you have a comment to that, Con?
Well, I was, as you were talking, I was just thinking about relationships and you know, how can we expect to have a better relationship with a human being if we're not better ourselves and if we don't work on who we are?
Exactly.
It's important.
And, you know, it goes back to that same stupid definition of insanity. If you keep doing what you always done and expect to get different results.
Right.
And, you know, I don't remember who told me now, but, you know, if you're in a relationship and it's not good, you know, that it's better to be alone than to wish you were.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you have to purposely be alone in order to make yourself worthy and worth being involved with. Because if you don't like yourself, you don't want to date yourself, then nobody else is going to want to, or you're going to get involved in another situation in the same kind of relationship and have the same hurts and the same broken heart.
Right. And I do believe people can right now, if you're thinking that you're in that type of circumstance. I don't know how involved your relationship is. I don't know if it's one. I can't say if it's one you should end or be in or work on or what the case may be. But I do believe that you can make immediate decisions this very moment and be different a minute later.
Amen.
Because
Absolutely.
You can apply these things now.
These are concrete
And you
things.
Can salvage relationships, even if they seem unsalvageable.
Right.
Worst situation of domestic violence in the whole nine yards, whatever it can be, it can be salvaged. Now, there might be other ways that we haven't mentioned, certain groups you might need to go seek after, a period of separation. I have no idea. There's so many circumstances that happen in
life
nowadays.
But God has the wisdom is
but
the key.
But he knows.
He
and
has
if you go
answer.
To him, he will start leading you.
He will.
And if you ask for that, he will show you the way. And there's no doubt in my mind that is the truth.
So it really does revolve around redirect. I'm going to say that word again. Yeah. Redirecting our speech, the things we say, the way we handle arguments with those that get under our skin so quick. It's redirect what we think about. Are we sitting around thinking about the good things of God? Are we giving thanks? Mm-hmm. Is Thanksgiving our dialect? Is it?
Should be. Has to be successful in this.
And it's not difficult. It's not difficult to be.
Why isn't it difficult?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just a habit with me now. But, you know, putting on praise music and just thanking God to be alive.
Lord, we bless you.
And, you know, and it takes a while to see what's good in a bad situation.
Right.
You know, and you really have to be still and listen.
Yes.
And know that he's telling you that this is for your own good.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not easy. But you but if you do that, you'll see.
You sent out a devotional this morning, Connie. Connie sends them out every morning, very early in the morning. I think sometimes in the middle of the night because of her crazy work schedule at the hospital. But she sent out a devotional this morning about be still and know that I am God. And it was really good. And that is the answer here. When you get, you find yourself in this turmoil of a really difficult relationship situation, is to get quiet and to wait before you react. And you say, man, that's easier said than done. I know it is. Believe me, I've been there 100 million times. But I can tell you that the younger I get, the more I know that it does work to back up, take a break, talk to God, redirect our thoughts, redirect what we're thinking about and the way we would normally react, redirect ourselves to an attitude of, Lord, I give you thanks in the middle of this struggle. Okay. This saying comes from Oprah. Are you ready? Because I wrote it down. And it says, when you're in the middle of a huge problem, a struggle, start thanking, start giving thanks, because what is coming to you on the other side of it is better than before it happened. Because, and see, that is the spiritual principle. That's in her words. I didn't quote her exactly right. So if you're listening out there, Oprah, I'm sorry I didn't get you exactly right here. But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So here's the essence of it. God will bring something good from that situation. From your pain, yes. And we're going to talk more about this next week. This morning at the end of my sermon, I was really talking about the point that God takes your pain and turns it into something.
Mm-hmm. Joy.
Joy. You got it. You must have been listening, girl.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
And it's our strength. So how do we get stronger? We allow God to take the pain, turn it into joy. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Are we going to go through things that hurt? Absolutely. Yes. You wouldn't be human. Are you going to be in relationships where people say things and cut you and they hurt you and they you walk away and you go, wow, that was awful? Yes, that's going to happen. But what good is going to come from that? Because I guarantee you that pain is turned into joy.
Perseverance. A lot of perseverance changes us. You know, another quote that I had written down is this: if we do what we're supposed to, when we're supposed to do it, in other words, we're forming habits, we're doing things that we're being habitual, we're being steadfast about something, then later we'll be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it.
Okay.
And I think that...
Say that again.
It is. If we do... let me read it right off the page. If we do what we're supposed to... when we're supposed to do it,
do the next right thing.
Then later we'll be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it.
Okay.
So in other words, discipline now will equal freedom later.
Amen. Right.
And
amen.
I think the people out there that are listening that are feeling all trapped in a bad relationship or bad turmoil from who knows what type of relationship, I don't know of many things that feel worse, because it just feels like you're hauled up in an unbreakout situation.
Can't get out of it.
But the fact of the matter is, in these principles that we're talking about, thanksgiving, doing the next right thing, ways of thinking, things that come out of our mouths, not getting into those conflicting conversations the old ways, these are like very hard things for people to do.
Oh, they are.
Nearly impossible in a worldly sense.
Right.
But if you will break out and just commit to it, you bite your lip and make yourself do it.
Drive a stake in the ground today.
It will pay off in the long run.
Amen.
You will form new habits. You will change your circumstances now. Next week will not be the same as this week. A year from now, your life will not look this way. It will look different.
Amen.
And the couple things that I encourage is, first of all, take the personal responsibility to do those things.
Right.
And second thing is, get a body around you that can support you through
it. Go to church.
If you don't have a church, a church based in the Word of God,
amen,
a good, strong, foundational church that can support you, because you can't do it on your own.
Right.
Find an outlet if you don't have a church in your area, which I can't imagine where you're listening unless you're listening from Timbuktu. But and I don't even know if that's a real place.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. But there are bodies of Christ everywhere. And right. there are solid ones that can help you and will love you. Amen. They are willing to get their hands dirty and take a stand with you and be there for you.
Pray for you.
As you're there for yourself.
Right.
With God on your side.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place. We're going to dance in the river.
Dancing in the river of God's love. Praise God. I love that song. Praise God. Dancing in the river. Praise the Lord. It's been a great time sharing with everybody mm-hmm. today. You know, we went from a 60-minute broadcast. We started our first broadcast April 15th, and we had the opportunity to take on an extra 30 minutes, and we did that by faith, and we're believing God. There are some of you out there that might want to help support this ministry financially. That would be great. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can actually give through PayPal now, which is kind of a great thing, mm-hmm. and we would appreciate any support financially for this endeavor. But we enjoy getting the word of God out there. Do you have a final thought today, Cricket, from what we've talked about?
I'm just encouraged for people because I think this message is going to really break some strongholds. Just as We Speak to Nations states, strongholds be broken. Powers of darkness, you must
Amen.
Flee.
Amen.
And this kind of knowledge, putting it out there and people realizing this is how you start down that
Exactly.
right road. You get healing. Off of all the crooked and broken roads, and
yes.
you start getting on a path that's solid under your feet.
Amen.
And the last thing I'll encourage people is just to remember, you don't have to improve right now before you can start this process. Come to God as you are.
Amen.
He is the one who will help you.
Yes.
He is our helper. He is the one who will make that happen. Don't try to do it on your own.
Right.
Why would you even try? Because you'll just labor fruitlessly.
Right.
Go ahead and go right to Him right now. We'll
Amen.
Probably pray in a few minutes.
Yes,
that would be a great start
a
to it.
We've got just a minute. Go ahead, Connie.
I was going to say, part of being a responsible and accountable adult is being disciplined, and that means redirecting. It means having Thanksgiving as our dialect, and it means using the Bible, which is called the Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
All right. Praise God. Okay. Those are great. Thank you. For all of you out there, bow your head with me right now. Lord, we just thank you for this time and your word. We thank you for the time of conversation where we've been able to share your principles. Lord, for those out there that are hurting right this moment, wherever they might be, we ask that you reach down with your great big old arms of love and wrap them up and just pick them up and put them on your lap and let them feel your love right now. Let them know beyond a doubt that you care about the hurt and the pain in their lives. You have an answer, and that you just ask them to come to you. And Lord, we just pray for all these that have listened today, that they will run to you for the answers and experience the love of God in their life in a new dimension, in a fresh new way. And Lord, let them know that there are people out there that care about them. And Lord, we just pray for peace to reign in these homes and these relationships in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. It's always a joy to be with you. Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. What a joy. Just celebrate God today.
Thank you for joining us on Living the Good Life, the broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries that welcomes all people, origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. This is Conversation Radio, all about real life, real truth, and real purpose. Join us again next Sunday evening from 4:30 to 6 as we continue our discussion of more hope for your future. Connect with us at beaconofhopeministries.com, getting you on the road to living the good life.
AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.